Hey there, thank you for listening. We're moving away from SoundCloud, and our current and new episodes will now be available at talk.ekdrishti.in. A link to the new site is available in our SoundCloud profile. And if you have any questions, feel free to reach us on Twitter or Facebook at ekdrishti, or via email talk@ekdrishti.in. And now, back to the episode. All right, guys, it's Wednesday, May 31st. Girish Alva is joining me on the show today, and we're going to be talking about the new prevention of cruelty to animal rules. This is Drishti Talk.
Hi, Chirag. Thanks for inviting.
No, my pleasure. I know we've got a fairly controversial topic to talk about. So I want to start by putting some context to the conversation, right? So the government earlier this week put out some new updates to the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals Act, which was originally drafted in the 1960s. And primarily there are two set of rules, right? So there's the rule for regulation of livestock markets, rules towards treatment of case property animals, basically animals that are under litigation for some reason or the other. The case property animals bit is pretty straightforward. The authority that has seized the animal because there's a dispute or because there is some crime committed against it has to make sure that the animal is treated well. They have to maintain the health, sanitation, water facilities, and so on and so forth until the animal can be taken to the next step. So if the accused has been released, the animal goes back to him. If the accused hasn't, then they have to put it up for either adoption or something down the road. Right. But where I think the focus of the rules are, and unfortunately it does feel as though, nobody's talking about this part, which is the cruelty to animals bit, right? So we have a ton of cruel practices that are very specifically mentioned as prohibited. So things like hot branding, cold branding, shearing of horns, cutting of ears and nose to mark the animals, sealing of udders, and I think one big one, which was, banning the use of steroids for animals, which a lot of people we know do for increased production, whether it's milk or otherwise, things like castration and so on. The government is also looking to build strong regulation around animal markets where all the animals get traded. And even there, the focus has remained on the cruelty and treating animals humanely. So everything from making sure that, there's a regulatory committee for the markets that are, ensuring housing, shade, lighting. Mm-hmm. One thing I thought was very interesting in the rules as well is that the vet services and the hydration facilities, as making sure the animals has adequate water, is something that's repeated quite often. And so it sounds to me like it's a real problem. They're trying to make sure that, this is something that's a responsibility of the market, and they've got to make sure it's available. But then there's also other things. So for example, you've got, regulating things like if you have to put the animal in a pen or a cage, the cage must be big enough that the animal can at least stand, turn around, spread its wings in the case of poultry. You're not allowed to drag animals across the ground. You can't tie their legs anymore. The animal has to be able to walk. And so I guess the first area that, based on these rules is that I'm trying to understand, and there's a lot of opposition coming here, is about, oh my God, too much regulation. Do you feel like this is something that shouldn't be regulated though?
Yeah, Chirag, I think it's a very good question. So let me just give you a little background on where it all started, sure. Right? If you go back to 2014, there was an activist who has submitted a PIL to the Supreme Court asking about, the regulation of the cattle market, the cruelty to animals, because she has seen thousands of cattle being trafficked out of India into Nepal. And that's where she was concerned and approached the Supreme Court. So Supreme Court has directed the government then to come up with the proper regulation on to control the cruelty of animals. So that's where it all started, right? And then this new notification, it just came in a few days back, talks about how the cruelty can be controlled. It advises cattle market control as well, regulation, how the cattle should be treated in the market.
Yeah, in fact, I think one thing that's getting missed out in some of the conversations that are happening is that, everybody's focusing on the cattle. And we'll come to the cattle in a bit because I think there's a serious issue that we do need to discuss there. But
right.
But all of these regulations, all of the stuff relating to markets, deals with all animals. There's no restriction here. So treating animals humanely applies to every animal that is going to go through trading. But some of the, and this is section 14 of the new rules, where it deals with, you know, cutting the ears and shearing and of the horns and stuff like that. This applies to all animals, by the way. It's not about cattle only, which is something that somehow I don't think people are understanding. And that's why everybody's sort of focused on this cattle conversation, when the reality is these rules actually apply to stopping cruelty across all animals.
Exactly. I think that's the point. You know, it applies to treating in a more humane way. And the animals, not just cows are covered under that. It also covers like buffaloes and camels as well. You'll be surprised. Yeah, so it covers the most of the animals being traded in the animal market. Yeah, so basically it is to control the cruelty and also the cattle market. If you look at the cattle market today, it's very badly managed. You know, in the cattle market, you just buy animals for slaughter. So what happens to the poor farmer if you want to get a bullock for his agriculture purpose? He has to pay huge money because they are sold in the market for slaughtering, right? And he has problem finding the bullock. So what it does is to help the farmer so that they can have like low cost farming, and that will improve the life of lakhs of farmers in India. That was the basic concept behind this whole notification.
Yeah, and I think it's extremely important to understand in some ways the intent behind the update. Of course, and you correctly mentioned that there was a Supreme Court notice to the government to say, you know, you need to update these rules and you need to draft more. But then we have to look at these rules and say numerous things that are getting removed that are actually, you know, and we know, for example, I think for me, a big one is, you know, you cannot inject animals with steroids except for medical reasons. I mean, if a vet mandates it, which is
different. Right.
And so these are things where we know that, you know, animals are seriously suffering because of the way they're being treated. Even something as simple as, you know, you cannot tie the front and the hind legs and drag the animal across the market. It pains you a little bit to hear that, but it's true, right? It does happen. And it's at least there is some legal framework around these practices now.
Very true. In the way the animals are transported, that is really, if you look at it, you know, they will put like tens of cows or tens of bullocks in a small truck, and that is really painful to see.
Right, and that's why there are regulations around space and storing of the animals, although storing is not the right word here, you know, when it comes to these things, so that they have enough room to, you know, move around. And so the other argument that I find, which is fascinating, but the other argument that's a bit interesting is people are talking about jobs, right? So now that there are all these new restrictions have come in, and it's going to be difficult, quote unquote, to trade and difficult, quote unquote, to deal with the whole slaughter angle of things. Think of all the people that are going to get, you know, lose their jobs. I find this, this reminds me sort of the whole UP situation, right? When the new government came to power and they said, you know what, we're done with illegal slaughterhouses. Slaughterhouses have to be maintained well and regulated. We can't just have all this and this stuff. And instead of questioning why are 99% of the slaughterhouses in UP illegal, the question was, what about the jobs? And the same thing's kind of happening here now, where it's like, oh my God, how can we suddenly have this issue all across the country where the jobs are going to be lost? To these people, my question is, yeah, but what about the cruelty to animals? Should we continue being cruel to them just because it employs people?
Yeah, it's a very good question, because, you know, job situation, some people expected might get a little worse this year. But that doesn't mean that, cruelty to animals, you know, should continue like this just to have more jobs. But actually, it doesn't really hurt job market, as if you can really look at it. It's just controlling how the animals are treated and how they are traded in the market. It's not about job market. It's not about cutting jobs and, you know, stuff people raise their voice. So I don't agree that it's going to impact jobs.
In fact, I would argue as well that, I mean, the fact that now there's going to be a committee constituted and there's going to be a requirement to inspect at the state level all the animal markets.
Exactly. I mean, there will be a lot of jobs even created, because once you come to regulate the whole market, you need to have, you know, proper system, documentation and all this, right? This is going to create lot of jobs. What I can see is that it's going to create more jobs than people are going to lose jobs.
Yeah, and think about the fact that now it's mandated that you know, every animal market has to have wet facilities, sanitation facilities. Who's going to maintain them? The vets need to be, will get extra jobs. The cleaners and the people maintaining sanitation will get extra jobs. And so there is actually, this has potential to create jobs in the process to look after the animals. I don't see why. Again, you know, for me, it's a case of saying, hey, we're talking about cruelty to animals. If someone's doing something to stop that, let's do that. And then if there are jobs displaced, let's find something for them, rather than saying, let's continue to be cruel and leave the people with their jobs.
Very true.
So one other point I wanted to just sort of highlight here, because I think it's interesting to me, when I look at statistics in other countries, and there are other countries that we know out in the West especially, that are actually crying out for better regulation against animal cruelty. I was looking at some numbers, and it says that, you know, for example, in the UK, the number of people that are vegan today has jumped about three and a half times in the last 10 years or so. In the US, at the end of 2015, which is a statistic I have, that says there are about 16 million people who identify themselves as vegan. Mind you, these are people that do not have, in my opinion, a cultural reason or a religious one to protect animals. You know, their motivations are purely moral, in that they don't want animals to be treated poorly.
Right.
Which is probably why, you know, out of all the vegetarians that exist in the US, about 50% of them identify themselves as vegan and not just vegetarian, because it's that moral reason, right? We don't want to deal with animal products because we know that animals are being treated very cruel. And then you come to India, and in India, in addition to any moral feelings we may have, we actually have very strong religious and social motivators to prevent cruelty to other life. And yet somehow, here we have a set of rules that came out to deal with this, and we have all this fancy opposition that's coming out about it.
True. Yeah. As you said, in Western countries, I have seen that. Like, I travel very regularly to US and some other European countries, and I have seen people, you know, just love vegetarian food and maybe some of the white meat, but not red meat. You know, and it's spreading very fast. But come back home, you have people fighting for having beef fest, you know, cutting animals in the open public just to oppose the government.
Yeah, this is the segue into the next part, right? So for context, right. One aspect of the new rules, and seriously, it's one aspect, right? Everything else applies to all the animals and everything. But there's one aspect where the government has said that, you know, these animal markets, which are going to be regulated, cattle trading within these animal markets, so the poultry and everything aside, the cattle trading within these markets has to be done for agricultural purpose. And this cattle includes, as you mentioned, cows, ox, buffaloes, and even camel. So that's all the government said as part of the regulation. And the opposition to that was a Congress leader, a youth worker in Kerala, who dragged a calf out onto the streets, slit its throat on live TV, and paraded the head as a mark of protest. I genuinely still don't have words to react to that, to be honest with you, because it's something that, I mean, I don't even understand it.
True. I mean, it is really very, you know, it has outraged the whole nation. Just to oppose new rule, and even without understanding that, they wanted to oppose the government in a way that that hurt the whole nation, right? As you mentioned, the live slaughter of that that cow in the TV, and it went viral across the country, and you know, people really felt angry about it, right? You have seen the outrage from across the country, and this is not justified. I mean, slaughtering a cow in the public and just to oppose the government is really the bad thing they have done. I think, you know, this has to be condemned.
Yeah, and I mean, as you correctly mentioned, I mean, and I think, which is one of my biggest issues with it, a beef party, sure, it's going to hurt somebody's sentiment, but, you know, it's a beef party. But to do a live killing as a mark of protest, by the way, not as a, you know, not as a part of a, you know, not in a butcher, not in a slaughterhouse, but this is a live killing as a mark of protest. Like, that's, I still am trying to understand, how is it that someone even thought of this, let alone someone approved it, someone gave him a calf, tons of people stood with him and celebrated this? Like, you know, what's happening here? I mean, so many flaws in the, so many areas where you would think somebody, and finally on live TV was recorded.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to stop him.
That was really the very bad incident, and it was not condemned, you know, until it became like a huge issue across the country, right?
Yeah, I mean, that I think that's what I'm trying to understand, you know, because for me, it's well, obviously I can understand that people eat meat and stuff like that, but this is taking it to a different level, right? I mean, to me, I shouldn't make a parallel like this, but to me, it's like handcuffing a little child and hanging him upside down and saying, you know what, I'm going to transport him to oppose the government's rule against child trafficking. Like, is that going to be okay suddenly? Because it is a life at the end of the day that he took, you know, on TV. And in my head, if you replace what he did with a human being, there's a very specific term for people that do that, right? Very, very, very cruel. I am really at a loss for words every time I think about the incident.
It is very unfortunate, and also certain you know, political parties are promoting it with continued beef fest or eating beef in the public, right? Just to oppose the government, even without understanding what this rule is about, and that is very unfortunate. You know, we have a democracy, that's fine, but we have to follow certain rules, right? We cannot slaughter a cow or an animal in the public. You know, there are not just adults, there are kids watching it.
Yeah, I think there's a serious moral question that I'm suffering from, which is there's a social element and a religious element and all of this other stuff, but you know, just morally, you know, dragging a young animal, by the way, it wasn't even an adult to start with, you know, how do you make peace with that yourself. I don't know. I don't have a better word, so I'm going to say it's a very twisted kind of thinking for me.
Yeah, very true. I think it has outraged the whole country. It has been debated on the TV. I hope it doesn't repeat, but it's highly condemnable.
Yeah, and you've raised the exact point that worries me. I mean, one person did it, right? And there were, as you mentioned, there was definitely at least one political leader who said, so what? It's okay. He was protesting, which means tomorrow someone else might, right?
Yeah, exactly. And to continue that, they also wanted the similar culture to come to Bangalore, to Karnataka. But people seeing that, watching that live slaughter of the animal on their video clips, they protested it, you know. So majority of the people are against it. And, you know, I hope it doesn't repeat again.
Yeah, I guess that's what we can hope for. One other thing that I wanted to add here was, so obviously there was quite some drama going on online where some media houses were reporting that, oh my God, it wasn't a cow, maybe it was an ox or some other animal, I don't know. Which, I mean, obviously at the face of it, there was video and pictures, so it wasn't very hard to decipher that. But my question then is, okay, if it was an ox, did that make this okay?
Yeah, firstly, I think as you mentioned, it was in the videos, it is clear that it is not an ox. It is a cow that also has religious significance in India.
Sure.
So besides cruelty, you know, it also angered people. But that just doesn't justify even cutting an ox or any other animals in public, right? That argument is completely not right.
Yeah, that was kind of my thing as well. Like, that doesn't change how we would feel though, right? I mean, yes, the cow has a religious issue, and therefore, you know, you may think three other things, but the first thing, which is, dude, you know, you just killed an animal in cold blood to protest, would apply and should apply to any animal.
Very true.
Anyway, I'm genuinely, you know, having finding it hard to like really articulate how miserable the process made me feel the other day. And it's been going on for 3 days, in fact, and I kind of was glad that we were recording a couple of days later in the hope that, you know, some of the anger would just slightly subside and we don't get to be honest, you know, I still feel as miserable as I did a few days ago.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel that way,
which
including me,
I suppose is, I guess, a little bit heartening to see that at least, you know, it's not, you know, the outrage isn't limited to a small number of people, in fact. And I think it's very, very clear, at least on things like social media and stuff, I think it's very clear that most people will not be supportive of something like this.
Yeah, that's true. I think most of the, as we have seen on the social media, the people talking about it and discussing it and 90% of the people, I can see that they are completely against it. That's one good thing, that this kind of incidents have united people against cruelty to animals.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, you know, it doesn't, as we say, it doesn't bring back the life.
I agree. Yeah. So one thing that we should do, whether on social media, mainstream media, or in this kind of podcast that you organize, that we should drive home this message across the country, right? It's our responsibility, each of us, who knows what is this and why it is wrong, to spread the message that cruelty or the slaughtering in public was very bad and it shouldn't repeat. So we have the responsibility to spread the message, and let's do our part.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And in fact, it's what has been surprising to me over the last, two or three days is the fact that actually people don't even know what the rules are. In fact, it's really funny, because when the notification, or rather when the mainstream media picked it up, the way it was dispensed was, there's a beef ban across India. That's the hashtag that went out. And that's the headlines that went out. And that's how the news reached me. Since then, it's actually been a case of educating. Mm-hmm. Every time someone starts a conversation with me about it, it starts like that. I'm like, no, wait, before we start doing anything, here's what the rules say. Now let's talk. And it's, mm-hmm. The reaction every time is, wow, really? I had no idea.
That's the reaction I get even, So it's our responsibility, I think, as I mentioned earlier, to spread this message, to make people understand what the rule is about.
Which ties into the other part that I wanted to talk about today. So you guys have started, a very interesting campaign that's picked up a lot of traction, called Give Up a Meal.
Yeah, I think most of the people on social media must have heard about or read about Give Up a Meal. Let me just give a little background. So going back to the month of March, there was a severe drought in Karnataka. So a lot of cows or even humans doesn't have water to drink or even scarcity of food. So there is a hill called Malay Mahadeshwara Hills in Karnataka. And there are a few villages where villagers actually rear cows for their living. There are close to 1 lakh cows in those villages. So what happened is that recently government has fenced the jungle where these cows go for food. It's also the drought I mentioned this year. So these two things really affected cows and cattle in that in those villages. So there were like few thousand of the cows died because of scarcity of food. Then we have a mutt. A religious mutt in Karnataka. It's in Hosanagar. So Ramachandrapura Mutta. They are actually famous for working on cow protection for many years. When the Swamiji heard about this crisis in the villages, so he immediately said, okay, don't worry, I will not let even a single cow die from here on. He didn't know where to get the money, because it needed a few crores to actually control the situation and feed those cattle, right? So it started with one distribution center where volunteers get fodder from across the state and then distribute it to the cows. But eventually it went up to until 15 distribution centers, and the Mutta is not like corporate world where we have everything planned. Swamiji thinks that God will give, so he went ahead, but it was like huge work and required huge number of distribution centers and also the resources to support. Then what the Swamiji did is that he asked his devotees to skip one meal and donate, and also lead a simple life. So devotees, donated their jewels, some of the kids, they even skipped their ice creams and donated whatever they can. Yeah. It was very heartening to see that how people responded. But again, the devotees, they run into a few lakhs. That is not enough to sustain this whole effort. So when I heard about it, I was quite active on social media, in Twitter. I heard about it. I thought, let's do something. I formed a small team of 15 people. And most of them I took from the Mutta, the social media team. So we took it to across the nation. We formed a hashtag called Give Up a Meal. And every Monday, the whole team, we fasted. Though I was not an ardent devotee of the Swamiji, but when I started, and every one of us, we fasted every Monday. And we campaigned on social media.
I mean, that's how I heard about it as well, being a social media campaign with the hashtag. Tons of people, you know, have also changed their names. So they go by either Girish, give up a meal, or give up a meal, Girish type of thing. And, you know, just to create that awareness.
Yeah, that's what we did on the 17th of April. I told the team, let's try to reach 1 million people. You know, it's very catchy, right? Reach 1 million. So we worked the whole night, previous night, and we contacted, you know, all big activists on Twitter and Facebook. We requested their support. We asked them, okay, can you change your name, as you mentioned, with the hashtag #GiveUpAMeal, and also please help with tweets and messages. So when we opened the campaign on Monday, 10 a.m., we were surprised. We saw that, you know, thousands of people have changed their names. And even we heard that, you know, many people form small groups, you know, Twitter groups or Facebook groups with a Give Up a Meal group name, and they promoted this cause. So it was like, you know, support came in from everywhere. And we had a very unique strategy to reach more people besides, you know, these things I mentioned, change names and other things. Very unique tools to reach people, and that created the whole movement. And then every Monday we continued the whole Give Up a Meal campaign, and we are still continuing that until maybe end of this June, you know. Yeah, it was a very successful campaign.
Yeah, and you guys did cross, I think it was 1.02 million people, right, at the end?
Right, yeah. We reached like 1.02 or about 1 million people, and then we stopped counting because it's spreading. It's spreading like wildfire. So we couldn't count, and we focused more on spreading the awareness. That was amazing. It was like huge support from public. And I think, you know, Indians are very kind. If you have a cause, and convince people are very kind in India, you know, public support coming from everywhere.
No, and I think also, you know, a great example of the power of social media, and of course we keep seeing some of the evils of social media as well, but the power of social media where you're able to connect with people and so quickly, and that this is a great example of that, right? I mean, I'm sure you guys reach people that you know, it wouldn't be connected to you by maybe 6 or 7 degrees even. But they're, you know, they're contributing the cause and fasting every week.
Yeah, that's true, you know, because it spreads so much, so widely, that even, you know, a lot of political parties were interested to join. We politely declined to make it political. But when we had a former chief minister of Karnataka, P.S. Yediyurappaji, he saw this campaign, and he invited us with a tweet.
Yeah, I saw that tweet actually, yeah.
Yeah, that's very interesting, you know. And he's quite famous to fight for farmer cause. So we thought, okay, let's go and meet him. And when we met him, we weren't surprised. And he declared on the spot, okay, I will give a donation of 10 lakhs from my side. And he said, what else you want? We said, okay, just give us a clip giving a call to the public to donate. That will be very good. And that evening, I had the clip as well. And it's not just Yediyurappa. And there were a lot of other leaders. And there were movie actors who also sent us video clips. And the support from a lot of top names in the state came in. And we tried to stay politically neutral. But whenever support comes from, you know, good leaders, we're very happy.
No, of course. And I think, you know, you want to create that awareness. It obviously helps when, you know, when they back the cause. Of course, keeping, you know, the politics out of it and just doing it for the cause, which is what you want. And I think, that's wonderful that, you know, they're coming out to support you.
Very true. Yeah. And also, like, this campaign runs on Monday, you know, it's the first day of work. But the whole team, you know, the 15-member team I have, they are so dedicated. So every success in this campaign goes to each one of them. So grateful to the team, very motivated to the cause. I really appreciate the whole team, and also the public, you know, who came in big numbers in support.
Tell us as well, I mean, obviously for the listeners on the show who might want to contribute or might want to take part in it, how do they go about it?
There are two ways to go about it. The first thing is we urge you to fast. You know, when you fast for a cause and donate the money, you feel connected to the cause, right? And some people, they don't want to fast. Okay, that's fine. But you can still donate. Okay, so you donate to the MATH account. The MATH has a very, very well audited system. and it has been ISO certified as well. So they can donate to that MATA account, and every single penny donated will directly go to the cause, and because people involved from end to end, getting the fodder until distribution, they are all volunteers. You know, they spend money from their pocket to do the work. So I assure you, every cent or every paisa or the rupee that you donate directly go to feed those starving cows.
I think that's interesting that you mentioned that, that anything that goes in terms of donations to the account is then directly used to feed the cows. It's not like it gets donated to somebody else who's doing the job, right?
Exactly. You look at a lot of NGOs. What they do is that they have very high overhead. I heard in some of the NGOs, the 70% of the money spent for administrative support, and only 30% goes to the final, the cost. But here it's entirely different. 100%, everything you spend, you donate, it goes to the cost.
Oh, that's wonderful, Girish. I'm obviously it's very heartening to see that, and it's quite nice.
Yeah, I mean, we were there like last week, and when we talked to the villagers, they are so emotional. We said that we are from this Give Up Meal campaign, and they actually hold our hands and cried. You people saved my cow. If these cows died, I would have committed suicide. It was so touching to see that. That makes us feel that, yeah, we are doing a good, something good for the people, something good for the country. I think every people on social media don't just fight for some, nonsense comments or political mileage, but try to see if we can spend some time for social cause. This country needs you. Needs every one of you.
If someone wants to get in touch with you guys, how does he do so?
Yeah, good question, Chirag. So if someone want to get in touch with the campaign, you can go to Twitter and look for the hashtag GiveUpMeal, and you have all the details. We populated Twitter with every detail that you need. That's one way. If not, you can go to Facebook and look for www.facebook.com/giveupameal. We have a page dedicated to this cause.
Wonderful.
And if you really need more information, then you can reach to me. My Twitter handle is @GirishAlva, G-I-R-I-S-H-A-L-V-A. So I'm always happy to give you more details and connect you to the...
Wonderful. And I will, in the show post that I do with the notes, I will definitely add your Twitter as well as the link to the Facebook page and the Twitter hashtag so people can look it up. Sure. Anything else you want to add to this?
One message that we all should convey that, everything you do, keep your country in mind. Before you go and slaughter a cow or animal just to protest against something, think first, take a step back. How is it going to affect my country? Is it going to improve something, or is it going to help my country? And then everything else falls in place, right? So always think or do anything with nation in mind, and we all will progress together.
Yeah, that brings us to the end of the show. Thanks so much, Girish, for your time.
Sure. Thanks a lot. Thanks, Chirag, for having me.